God's intent all along, Jesus came. He came bringing the kingdom of heaven out of heaven into the earth, that the kingdom of God could be here in the earth and dwell in the hearts of men. God has had a plan all along once the kingdom got here, and it is to build the kingdom. It is to build the church. It is to build the body of Christ. He's had an intent with that. And you know, when God has an intent with something, He gives things to help that happen. He gives us tools to build the kingdom. He gives us gifts to build the kingdom. Now, Pastor's been talking for several weeks now about the local church. I'm just so blessed by the preaching about the local church. Come on, the local church is important. It's vital today to your life, to my life. It's vital to the plan of God. Every local assembly, every assembly that was called by the heart of God, by the Spirit of God, into the heart of a pastor, it matters today. And God is intent on building the kingdom. And so this morning I want to talk about a couple of gifts that God has given us to help us build the kingdom. I love that when we really begin to look out the New Testament, we see that in giving gifts, in helping build the kingdom, the whole Godhead is involved. God the Father has given gifts. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that God appointed that certain gifts would be put in the body. And then He began to list the different gifts, the fivefold ministers, gift of administrations, gifts of helps, the tongues. And He made a place for everybody in the kingdom of God to operate through their giftings, through their graces, that we could help build the kingdom. Romans chapter 12, God gave gift, life graces to people. We see that Jesus gave gifts in Ephesians chapter 4, where He gave the fivefold ministers. We see that the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 gave gifts, gifts for the edification of the body, gifts for the building up and for the profit of the body. This morning, I want to talk to you about the gift of prophecy. This morning, I'm going to heavily focus on the gift of the prophet, because it's important that we understand the fivefold gifts. And now in talking about the gift of the prophet, I have to mention some things about prophecy, but I'm going to save a lot of that for later, a little bit down the line. Today, focusing on the gift of the prophet, but you have to understand that God did give the gift of prophecy in order to help build the church. And just a general definition of prophecy in general is speaking forth the word or the words of God for the purposes of God. Prophecy is to bring forth the telling in human words from a human vessel what the heart of God is and what it is that God is bringing to our hearts. So turn with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 4. I know that Pastor has read this account here, but I want to read it and give us a good start this morning. You know, I'd like to just jump in and instantly run, but I do feel like we have to lay a little bit of a foundation here. But I just want you to know in our next few services, speaking about the gift of the prophet and also the gift of prophecy, you're going to learn some things that will greatly help your life. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And it says, "And He Himself," speaking of Jesus, "He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Now notice the word "some" there. Not all, but some. "To some He called and placed in this office. For," look at this, verse 12, "the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." What is the edifying? The building up. Here we see God again building up the church. When Jesus was on the earth and Peter finally got the revelation of who Jesus was, of who God was, and who the body of Christ, the church, would be in God, he made that statement. He said, "Upon that rock I will build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So we see here God is wanting to build the church. Jesus is wanting to build or to edify the church. So it's the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." How many of you would like to be in that category? How many of you would like to? Yes. "That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and fit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth for the body, growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This is God's purpose for the church, that we would grow and that each member in it would grow up into the full stature, into the full measure of Christ. And in order to do so, Jesus Himself deemed it necessary that He would give gifts in the earth, that He would put gifts. How many of you like gifts? I love gifts. I see a gift and I'm like, well, not even if it's not my gift. I mean, just a gift. And I'm like, what's the gift? What's in it? What's in that bag? What is that? What does it do? How's that going to help somebody? Why are they going to like that? What's it going to be in there? That's how I feel about gifts. That's how we should feel about gifts that God puts in the body of Christ, that He gives to us, because God gives really, really good gifts. Listen, in God's economy, in God's scale of things, there are no white elephant gifts. Come on, there's no need to come to the party and bring something that we have from God that we didn't need or we didn't like, or I'm through with that. Listen, the gifts of God are wonderful. The gifts of God are vital. The gifts of God are ever functioning and always meant to produce something in your life. And so we need to understand the gifts of God. We need to understand primarily, specifically, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Why? So that we can take grab the fullness of what God is offering to us. It's important to be able to recognize the gifts, to value the gifts. You know, in America, we have such an independent spirit. And at times, you know, I travel overseas and I see how wonderful it is to have an independent spirit and to feel like you can do things and succeed at life. But we do have to remember that our success in life is about us staying dependent upon God. And that as we succeed, it's about us being able to recognize and to value and to benefit from the things that God gives us to help us in our gospel life. And so I want to talk about the ministry of the prophet today. You know, the ministry offices given to the church are not, it's not a gift through a person. It's the gift of a person. And so I like to put it this way, that ministers are gift extensions of Jesus Christ Himself. When Jesus was in the earth, He embodied, by the grace of God, what was put upon Him and what was within Him. He embodied the fivefold ministers. He embodied the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. He operated in all of those gifts. And so when Jesus departed, He knew it necessary to have the full enchilada. Come on, everything that He embodied in the earth that was now departing, He said, okay, I'm going to give that back to the earth. I'm going to give that back to the church in the form of people, in the form of men, in the form of apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. I'm going to set them in the office with the same grace, the impartation of who He was and how He functioned in that office is now put upon those that He puts, some as teachers, some as pastors, some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists. It's important. It's not like a gift that you give somebody. Jesus didn't give them a gift. He didn't say, okay, you're an apostle and I give you a gift. Instead, He said, you are the gift. And so the gift is who we as ministers are. And so when we see apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers operating in the fullness of those gifts, we see the fullness of Jesus's ministry. Isn't that awesome? We need that today. You know, a long time ago, Smith Wigglesworth had a prophecy, and he was talking about things that were to come. I think Lester Summerall also kind of tapped into this, that there was coming a day when the fivefold ministers would all be restored to the church. You know, there was a day years ago where really you didn't see much office of the prophet. The church didn't really understand the ministry of the prophet or the apostle. Most places you got, you were trying to convince people that prophets still existed today in the body of Christ. But praise God, we've rounded that corner, it seems. Praise the Lord. Now we see the fulfillment of all five offices restored to the church. And in restored, I mean that the people of God can see it, can benefit from it. And we see all of the gifts of the Spirit today functioning. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful thing. You know, God gave these things in the beginning, but just like the Bible says, we have to contend for things. We have to contend for the faith. We have to continue for the doctrine that was once delivered so that we're not regressing, so that we're not losing things. And that's how all the glory of the book of Acts and everything they saw and all of the things that they were involved in and how they lived and the power and the glory. But then after that, the church began to drift. And the church eventually went into the dark ages where the church didn't have any light or any revelation of many of the things of God, many of the offices of God, many of the gifts or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so it's important that we know these things and contend for things. I contend for the fullness of the five offices functioning today because we need them. We, the body, we, the church, even Pastor Chaz and I, we're constantly looking when we're bringing people in, you know, making sure that the body is getting a good diet or healthy food of all of the offices. And so it's important that we can know these things and understand these things. And so really, how does, what is the prophet? What does the prophet do? What does the prophet bring to the table? What is prophecy today? How does it fit in the New Testament? What importance does it have in your life and in my life? And so we've got to know these things and be reminded of these things. So I want to start this morning by telling you that with prophecy, there are different diversities. There are a variety of expressions. I would call them different realms of prophecy, primarily four realms of prophecy. I'm going to start with number one being the prophecy of the Scriptures. Hallelujah. Now, the prophecy of the Scriptures is the highest and purest form of prophecy. It is the only one that is 100% accurate. You have to understand that. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. See what God says about the word here. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture, look at that. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Every Scripture is profitable for you. You're never going to outgrow the Scriptures. You're never going to outgrow books of the Bible. You're never going to outgrow verses. You don't get to pick and choose your favorites. All of the Bible is profitable for you, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Bible is, the Scripture is, the Word of God in its sum and in its parts. It is the absolute authority. Now, some of the Bible is predictive. Some of the Bible was forthtelling. Really, all of the Bible is what we would call general prophecy, which again is what? Is to speak the words of God for the purposes of God. So everything in the Bible that was written is really falls in to the category of what we would call general prophecy. But there are also things of the word that were what we call foretelling or were predictive and told things to come. Don't turn there, but I'm just going to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. It says, knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man. Look at that. Prophecy never came by the will of man, But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So this tells us again that the Word of God has the absolute authority. So even today, even with prophecy, even when it is true prophecy, even when it's coming from a true prophet and it's ringing true by the Spirit, that does not hold the same value as the Word of God. Prophecy is desirable, but the Word of God is most valuable. It is absolute. And so we must love the Word and esteem the Word. And really, we must judge all things by the Word. That's it's important why you know the Word, not just what somebody tells you, not even just what your pastor tells you or the teacher teaches that day. You must know the Word yourself. So the Word of God is the first realm of prophecy. The second one is the office of the prophet. All right, so again, speaking of the fivefold ministry here, but we're talking about the prophet being an expression of prophecy. Why? Because all prophets will prophesy. Okay? That's just a gift that's resident in that office, is that all prophets will prophesy and usually operate in at least two of the three revelation gifts. All right, which is what? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And so we can see that from the scriptures. We'll talk more about that later. But the prophet is an extension or a piece of the prophecy puzzle that God has given to build the church. But the prophet also has another requirement for standing in the office of the prophet. And that is first and foremost the ability to teach, preach, and edify groups of people along gospel lines. So just because one can prophesy, just because one operates in a gift of prophecy, even often does not make them a prophet. The first and foremost requirement of every minister is that they can preach or teach and edify groups of people. Now, for the prophet, coupled with that preaching and teaching gift, also comes a special, intangible anointing, really, that can change churches, that can elevate congregations into the glory of God, cause things to happen. It's coupled with, many times, personal ministry to people that is by the Spirit of God. And so when we're talking about the prophet, I guess if we were to break it down, you know, a teacher would have a teaching ministry. And so I guess that we could say a prophet would have a prophetic ministry. But I just want to guard you a little bit about that word today, because really prophetic ministry, that term is never used in the Bible. It's never anywhere in the Bible. And people have taken that word, and my first thought would be maybe in the beginning they begin to use it as the term of speaking of the prophet's ministry. The prophet is in the house today. There'll be prophetic ministry that's of the Spirit. But really it's become this really like this all-encompassing, almost sometimes weird, almost sometimes very wrong, calling things prophetic. I've been in groups before where something was said about somebody wearing a certain color. That's prophetic. Prophetic. Let's see. To speak forth the words of God for the purposes of God. What does someone wearing a certain color have to do? What? There's all kind of weird things. So we have to make sure that we understand what really true prophetic ministry, if we're going to use that word, would probably refer to the office of the prophet. Okay, but you're going to hear it used a lot. You're not going to be able to correct people. You're not the word police. You're not going to be able to correct people. But just know that when people are talking about that, sometimes it's not going to be proper. I know in a lot of churches today, people use the word prophetic ministry for what we would call really spirit-filled ministry or the spirit-filled life. Of being filled with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, the voice of God, knowing the leadings and the promptings and the urges of the Spirit, those types of things. Many people call that prophetic ministry. We're raising up a prophetic people. You know, I used to go places and I would come in and they would say, you know, knowing I'm a prophet, many times I teach a lot of things about prophecy. I teach things about the Spirit-filled life, but they're saying, you know, we're endeavoring to raise up a prophetic people. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I had to get with the Lord. Finally, just start asking the Lord, Lord, what are they talking about? You know, what are they saying? But what they're really wanting is people that are filled with the Spirit, people that speak in tongues, people that understand and value and embrace the work of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, being able to flow with the Spirit. So that's okay. So we can do that. We can go in and help them raise up a prophetic people. But really, it's not scriptural, the term in which they're using. So I need you to understand that so that you don't get lost in something that someone is saying or go down a very, can be quite a dangerous road. Many times it gets very flaky and very weird. So really, we prefer to stick with the Bible. We're going to stick with the Bible here, all right? So the second realm of prophecy is the office of the prophet. The third realm of prophecy is what we call the spirit of prophecy or general prophecy. And that's the level of prophecy that belongs to every believer. God said that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And it is simply this. It is the testimony of Jesus. It's you as a believer at any moment being able to open your mouth and say something that testifies of Jesus, of God, of the kingdom. And so it's really, it's by inspiration many times, kind of just a stirring in our heart to say something. And it's from the spirit within. It's from the spirit of God within your spirit. So we're not waiting of the spirit to come upon us. It's just something that comes from our spirit. I know a couple of weeks ago I was taping a TV program. And at the end, I just began kind of by the Spirit of the Lord just to pray and kind of minister. And as I was just praying, not a gift of prophecy, not the Lord coming upon me, but just in my heart, I began to hear something. And I don't really remember what it was, the nature of it at this time, but I found myself saying this, I prophesy this, I prophesy that. I was testifying of the Spirit of Jesus, of the testimony of Jesus, of something that's available to us in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God. And that was the word, how it came, I prophesy. The fourth realm is what is actually termed the gift of prophecy, which is different from the spirit of prophecy or general prophecy, which everybody can do. The gift of prophecy is one of the nine gifts or the manifestations of the Spirit given for the common good of the body, given by the Holy Spirit at a precise moment. And this really is where the Spirit comes upon, and in that moment, there is a divine utterance. There is something supernatural, almost like you're speaking at the will of the Spirit. And this is something you cannot do at just any time. You can't make the gift of prophecy come. It comes as the Spirit wills. So we have those four realms, the Word of God, the office of the prophet, general prophecy, and then we have the gift of prophecy. And so today I want to focus heavily on the office of the prophet and a little bit about prophecy, and then we'll get into the later things of prophecy and all the things that we need to know. You do need to know that within these four realms, there are different, we could say, there are different measures. There are even at times different graces and variables. Not all prophets are going to be the same. Not all prophets are going to, their ministry is not all going to look exactly alike, because like with anything with the Lord, some have a very focused something, some have a tendency towards certain things, and that's how God puts it all together in the body of Christ to make it all work together. So in examining the ministry of the prophet, like I said, really today we don't need to probably stand up here and try to convince you that prophets are for today in the body of Christ. But we do have to kind of explain the prophet's ministry, because in the Old Testament, the only people that ministered from God to the people were prophets. Okay? And so in the Old Testament, you see literally hundreds of Old Testament prophets. I mean, we could start with Moses and Miriam and Deborah and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel. We could go on and all the minor prophets, you know, Hosea and Amos. Just the list goes on and on and on. And so it's easy to go back into the Old Testament and see the ministry of the Old Testament prophets. But in the New Testament, you don't see as the details and really the functioning of as many of the New Testament prophets. And I'm going to explain to you why that is today. Although we do know that the New Testament had prophets, John the Baptist was certainly a prophet. Jesus referred to him as a prophet. But even John the Baptist ministered under the Old Testament law, because Jesus had not yet died and Jesus had not yet gone to the cross. We see Anna, She's mentioned in the New Testament as a prophet that lived in the day of Jesus. She was constantly in the temple with fastings and prayers. And then when the birth of Jesus came, she had a word. She was so excited to see the fulfillment of many of the things that she had prayed about. But again, still operating under Old Testament law. Then we have Jesus, of course, was a prophet in the New Testament, and he was really the bridge. Jesus was the bridge between Old Testament prophetic ministry and New Testament ministry of the prophets. And so he kind of operated in both. There were many things that Jesus did in fulfillment of the law and operating under the Old Testament, but there were also things that he began to open up and do and say that made light or made way for the things that were to come. Then we do see Agabus. Agabus is listed in Acts, and you'll see some things about him, and I'll talk about him a little bit later. But as you can see in the New Testament, not as many real prophets that you can go look at and understand. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today, the difference in Old Testament prophets versus New Testament prophets and even prophecy itself, because the New Testament prophet today is basically blended together with the four other offices, so they are not the only, they are not the stand-alone spokesperson for the Lord, and we have to know that. Now, the prophet today would still operate under the category of being a seer. They were called that in the Old Testament. It really means that they were able to see into the spiritual realm, to see into the spiritual dimension. They would certainly be that today, being able to many times have a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge or discerning of spirits, not discernment, which every believer is supposed to operate in, but the discerning of spirits, again, one of the nine manifestations of the Spirit in a moment. And so they still are a seer today, like in the Old Testament to some degree, but they are not a predictor of everything. They are no longer a judge of a nation or of a people. They're not the rebuker of all things, the one that stands up and always has to bring the rebuke and the correction. That's really no longer their primary goal. Like I said, their first goal is what? To teach and to preach, to edify the body of Christ. Then also we see that many times, because prophets' ministry is going to be built on the basis of prophecy, because again, a prophet is just a different expression of prophecy. So the prophets are going to speak with a very precise, direct word for a specific group of people at a specific time. In other words, when the prophet goes to minister, I always make this correlation between Pastor Chaz and I. Pastor Chaz being a teacher and a spirit-filled teacher and knows the Spirit of God and can follow the Spirit of God. But Pastor Chaz can pick up any message at any time, any topic, and just go in, and the teacher just wants to come. I mean, the teacher will come out. And it's glorious and it's wonderful. For me, it's not like that. And I wish it was sometimes. For me, it's like I could pull up 50 of my best messages. And if the Spirit of God is not breathing on that in that moment for these people, it won't come from me. I mean, I could stand up and it would be like a clanging cymbal. There'd be no anointing in it. There'd be no power in it. For the prophet, it really comes from the Spirit of the Lord. The prophet has the ability to see where people are or where a congregation is and where the Lord wants to take them. That's a really good way of saying it. And so I call it this, a now word. Like I tell Pastor Chaz all the time, I don't want to come every Sunday and just preach. That's not what I do. I come when it's a now. This is something the Spirit of the Lord is saying now. The people need to hear this now. This is what needs to be spoken or released now. And so that's a very important part of the prophet's ministry. And then also being able to see into the spiritual dimension and kind of operate from things in a spiritual capacity is very prevalent. So let's talk a little bit about some of the differences of the Old Testament prophets and prophecy versus the New Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, we know that there was no Holy Spirit in the hearts of men, correct? Jesus had not yet come to the earth. Jesus had not yet died on the cross. He had not been raised up to heaven. So there was no Spirit, Holy Spirit, in the hearts of men. And so there was no Spirit within anyone. The only way that the people at that time had access or dealt with the Holy Spirit was when the Spirit would come upon people. And that coming upon people would not be at their will. It was only at God's will. And what would happen is God would put His Spirit primarily on prophets, sometimes on kings and sometimes on priests, but He would put His Spirit would come upon them like a cloak. They would be clothed for a minute in the Spirit so that they could do something, say something from God to the people. That was the only way that the people of God in the Old Testament could hear from God, is if the Spirit came upon and spoke through someone. And so we see that in the Old Testament, prophets were the way that the Lord spoke to people. And God at that time was dealing with nations, with large group, the whole, you know, all of the Israelites at once. They were set in the church, they were set in the Old Testament basically to lead people, to lead a nation, to guide them, to direct them, to say, here, go this, here, don't do that, yes, go to war, don't go to war, repent, whatever it was that God needed. They were the only ones that was giving any direction, any instruction to the people of God. And so, again, they had a very direct, focused message, but it was that Spirit would come upon them just for a moment, and then they would tell the people what God wanted them to know. In the Old Testament, prophets were referred to as watchmen, and the reason they were referred to as watchmen is because it was their responsibility to know, to see what was to come, to tell the people what was and what was to come. It was only the prophets that could do that. And so in the Old Testament, prophets were used very much in what we call foretelling, or prophecy at that time was very much foretelling. It was predictive. It was telling the future. It was telling what was to come. It was revelatory, something that the people would not know, the people had no idea about. And the accuracy of the prophecy was determined by what we call the 100% requirement. According to Deuteronomy chapter 18, in the Old Testament, because no one had the Spirit of God within them, so the only way they knew if what that person really said was from God or not is if it happened or not. So there was a 100% requirement. And this was just it. I mean, if God said it, then it happened. And if God didn't say it, it didn't happen. All right? And so that's a big difference in how prophecy and prophets operate today in the New Testament. In the New Testament, today, prophecy is different. Do why? It's due to the new covenant. It's due to the fact that Jesus has now died, that we have been reconciled to God, our sins have been forgiven. Now the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in every believer. And so prophecy was given by God. It was designed as the full expression of His purpose in the church. And so today, prophets, gifts of prophecy, general prophecy, it's all distributed within the body of Christ for the working together and the building of the church. And so today, God's instruments, God's prophets, they're not used to guide, to lead, to direct. Who does that? The Holy Spirit does that. John chapter 16, verse 13 says that it's the Holy Spirit that's going to guide us, that's going to tell us the truth, that's going to tell us things that are to come. It's important that we know this. We've got the Spirit of God within us, and so we don't need prophets to come around and try to tell people what's coming in the future and what's going to happen. Instead, prophetic ministry, or the ministry of the prophet today, is really to confirm things. And that's why as a Spirit-filled and as a believer with the Spirit of God in us, the Bible says that it's the Spirit of God who bears witness. And so today we decide whether things are by the Spirit or not by the Spirit as to do they bear witness. So it moved from God just saying, hey, I'm going to give you an outward sign, and I'm going to say this, and if this happens, you're going to know it's true. Instead, now it's all done from within the heart of the believer. All right? And so prophets don't stand up today. They're not called to lead the church. They're not called to guide the church. Most of their ministry, New Testament prophecy, strongly shifted from foretelling, predictive in the future, to what we call forthtelling. It means to say and to speak forth, to speak forth the words of God for the purposes of God, to bring forth in human words at that time what God is wanting to bring to our heart. And it's rather than being a foresight from God into something that is to come, it's an insight from God into something that is now. Does that help you? It's huge. It's many times it's not revelatory. And the 100% accuracy requirement totally went out the door. Why? Because there are other things. First of all, prophecy is not always given for the purpose of someone having to do something or something to happen. Sometimes prophecy is to what? It's to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. So prophecy many times is just something that's going to stir you up, that's going to build you up in a minute, that's going to encourage you. It's not something about something that is or isn't going to happen. It's just God is saying, hey, rejoice. God is saying, hey, you know, good things. Hey, God is saying the best is yet to come. In that moment, that's edifying to us. That's encouraging. Ha, ha, there's things of God I've not yet seen. There's things of God I've not yet known. There's not something predictive about that. It's just the best is yet to come. This is where we're at right now. Let's set our heart toward the things that God wants for us in the future. Amen? There are other things that happen with prophecy. When prophecies do come now, faith is involved. Faith on behalf of the one giving the prophecy. Faith on behalf of the one receiving the prophecy. Sometimes there are conditions to prophecies. I'll give you a really good example. The Lord has said something to us this year. What did He say to us? He said that we can have a strong year. He said that there can be an internal strength worked within our life, and we can also see the strength of God in our lives. But it's contingent. It's contingent on what? On going after knowing Him. A deeper place of walking in the knowledge of God. Those who know their God shall be strong. There's a condition there. So if every single person in the church doesn't experience that, doesn't mean it wasn't necessarily inaccurate prophecy. There's conditions, and there's faith involved. There's faith involved. Sometimes, you know, in a moment we hear something, yes, yes, and then 2 months go by, and it didn't quite happen like we think it should happen, or we get kind of grow weary and well-doing, and we begin to lose our faith, and we begin to doubt, was it really God? Is it going to happen? You know, whatever. Faith is involved. Today, faith and patience is involved today. So there are many other things that play into, but number one is that God wants a relationship with every believer. And so He's not set it up today where you can know whether it was God or not God just by something you always see or don't see. Instead, He wants you to get familiar with that bearing witness on the inside of you. He wants you to get familiar with His voice, with what it is when the Spirit of truth is saying something versus someone speaking out of their soul. He wants you to get familiar with that. And so there's a great emphasis that God has placed in the New Testament of us learning to work with Him, have a relationship with Him. And so that's why it's all about the Spirit within. God does want us to know Him. That's very precious to Him. It's precious to Him that we would go after Him, where we could learn to distinguish His voice, where we could sense when things are of the flesh or of the Spirit. That's precious to God. It was the whole point of why He decided to put His Spirit on the inside of us so that we could have a spiritual relationship with Him. That's important to God. He wants us to have that. One thing about the prophetic or the prophet's ministry is that many times when they come in, many times they're more preachers really than teachers, because usually prophets are declaring something that God is saying to people. God is releasing something. God is wanting to do something. Unlike the teaching gift, many times is telling people their responsibility to God. So there's a difference there in the preaching and teaching, although some prophets can teach at different times, but usually you'll see them come in with a preaching, and it's really to awaken and to activate the people of God. The prophets have the ability really to come in and get you out of your chair. It's like you're sitting there and all of a sudden it's like, whoa. You know, if you're spiritually sensitive at all, you're like, something's happening here. I mean, I'm getting bigger. I'm getting taller. I mean, I'm beginning to sit up in my chair like, wow. It's a gift, something that God has put in the prophet to be able to do that. And also to hear from God and bring a clarity, or we could say a fresh perspective to the people of God at a particular moment. You'll see many times with prophets that they're set in, we could say it this way, maybe to prepare the way or to sound the alarm for the opening of the spiritual realm. You know, where visitations, encounters, manifestations, things of God will come a lot in the prophet's ministry. I saw this definition and I thought this was a good definition. A prophet I've done some study by in the past, and he described prophets this way. He said, prophets are especially anointed to perceive or see what is now and what is next on God's agenda. Then they will lift up their voices like a trumpet to alert, enlighten, and to charge those people to conquer that part of the truth that is to be restored or given to them at that time. They are trumpeters in the army of the Lord. So definitely prophets are mouthpieces. They're definitely going to use their voice to proclaim, to prophesy. They're trumpeters in the army of the Lord to give a clear sound revealing the desires of the commander-in-chief, saying whatever Christ chooses to speak for the purifying, perfecting, and building of his church. Hallelujah. So again, the prophets are going to come into a situation and greatly be able to discern and to see. You know, prophets, because they operate a lot in, they can utilize the spiritual dimension, see into the spiritual dimension. We always just kind of say that, like, their spiritual antenna is usually just a little bit higher than everybody else. It's not greater, but it's just a little bit always more there. And so that it's just something you don't even have to, as a prophet, you don't even have to really ask for it or exercise your faith in that area, but it's just distinctive. I remember one time I was on a trip, this was years ago, and I knew these pastors, but I didn't really know them well. I'd never ministered at their church, and we were being brought there from a different place in the nation to their church. And so we got there that morning, and Pastor Chaz, I think, was with me. We were together on this particular trip, and we drove up into the parking lot. And we drove up into the parking lot, and I got out of the car. And the minute I got out of the car and just looked at the church building, the Lord just instantly said something to me about their church. I mean, it just came just that instantly. Me knowing exactly kind of something that God had placed on that church, and it was something about being a lighthouse. And I just kind of banked it. I just thought, okay, you know, that helps me because I'm going to be ministering. It helps me to know. Well, then later at some time when I got up to preach, I began to kind of just share from my heart what the Lord had said. And the pastor stood up on the front row. He said, she's a prophet of the Lord. Now, what did that do? First of all, it helped him. It helped him be able to trust me. It helped him know me by the Spirit. Listen, it's good to know those that minister among you. You don't have to go around all the time trying to find out, no, are they a pastor, are they a teacher, are they... But listen, there's nothing wrong with being able to sense some things and come in. You ought to come into every meeting fully ready to receive, fully pulling upon whatever is in the heart of that minister. And what happened was that he stood up and wanted to come tell the church that they had just been praying recently and the Lord had released a specific word to them about their church and how they were in the city. And what I had said was exactly, he said, you just set out what exactly we had happened in our prayer meeting, you know, however many, a week, 2 weeks, whatever it was. Just things like that come. It's important that we can identify where people are at and where God wants to take them, what God wants to do. You know, prophecy is always meant to build, to encourage, to comfort. It's meant to bring forth life. And so there's just an extra grace on the prophet to operate in that capacity. And so even with prophets today, you'll see many variations of giftings. You know, you saw it in the Old Testament. John the Baptist had a specific message. You know, he was a message of preparing the way of the Lord. I saw that with Brother Hagin. You know, the Lord as a prophet gave him a directive that he was to teach the people faith. And so he had a message of faith that is still changing lives today. You know, sometimes the Lord, for me, it's fear. It's like almost everywhere I go, there's something about the fear, the message of eliminating fear out of the people's life. There's just things like that. You see in the Old Testament with Elijah, that he had a strong propensity toward signs and wonders and miracles, where there was an extra grace that would come upon him to work many signs and wonders. You saw about Samuel in the Old Testament. He was always into a restoration and restoring things back to people. So there are many different variations of what you're going to see with prophets. Now, I do want you to know that there are many commands and many instructions given to prophets. Prophets are not just supposed to be out doing their own thing, you know, doing ministry as they see fit. So there are many commands and instructions, and I want to go through some of these and then move into a few of the false things that we've heard today or know of today. One is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 32. It says, "And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets." That's very important. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. What that means is that the divine gift that flows through the prophet is under the responsibility, it's under the control of that prophet. So don't let any you know, I've been in places before where things have been done out of order, where things have been done not right, and then they'll say, but you know, I had this from the Lord and I just had to release it. No, you didn't. First of all, I'm not sure you had it from the Lord. But if you had it from the Lord, that's under your, it's under the possession of the prophet to know when to release. Listen, there are many things that prophets are going to know at many times that they're never going to say. Everything that you know is not for you to say or to preach or to tell people. And that's one thing that happens with prophets, and prophets have to be very careful, is not to start getting this thing about it being special to be in the know. You know, I'm in the know. But that can cause prophets, people to get in pride, and is a very, very, very dangerous place. So you have to remember that there are some things in 1 Corinthians 14. It talks about some things, and it says, let everything be done decent and in order. There's a scripture that says, let two or three prophets speak and the others judge. So, you know, if you're in a meeting where one is standing up saying something, one is standing up, so another stand up, now it's out of order. That means that the person that had the fourth one ought to go ahead and just sit down. It's okay. It's okay that you got something from God and didn't have to release it. Many times we get something from the Lord, it's to pray for. It's to pray about. Or it's something that will come up later at a different time. So knowing that, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 37 says, if anyone himself thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are commandments of the Lord. You know, first thing as a prophet is that I don't care who you are. I don't care how mature you are. I don't care how many thousands of people you've preached to. I don't care how accurate you are in your ministry. You are subject and subordinate to whoever you walk in under that day. If you are going to a church service, you are under, as a prophet, the authority of the pastor. The prophet's ministry is not to walk in and just do whatever the prophet sees. I see something, and I'm going to... Listen, there have been many times I've been in places that I've known something about where the pastor was at with something that was not correct. But the Lord has not told me to go in and try to correct it. I'm subordinate to that pastor. So we have to keep things in order. You know, prophecy or spiritual giftings are not given to build people's ministries. I'm going to say that again. Giftings, graces, things of the Spirit, they're not given to build people's ministry. They're given to build the church. And when you go in a meeting with a pastor, the pastor has the ultimate responsibility of those people. And so I'm not, as a prophet, even if I know something that could really help them, I'm not going to go in and stand in that man's pulpit and try to direct his church off into a different a different way. And I see it happen all the time. And it's because I know something. I've got to, no. That gift is subject to you. And you need to keep things in order. We're here to help the pastors build their churches. And so we're going to do the best that we can do. We're going to take what we have without stepping out of order with the pastor and help bring those people up. But we're going to stay in order. So you don't have to share everything all the time. And listen, with prophets, because prophets are kind of on the upper level of prophecy, usually when a prophet, many times, and certainly if it's more than one prophet, when they're in the house, they carry the spirit of prophecy with them. And so you'll find in the church service that you'll sense something. You'll know something. You'll feel like you could prophesy. You praise God for that. But that should really be there. So it doesn't mean that everybody's supposed to do it. It just means that it's there. Now maybe if the Lord is really desiring in a moment, then one or two could stand up and prophesy if it falls in line with what's going on. I was at a church service one time. I went to minister there, and I had a great relationship with these people. I had been there to minister many times before, and they knew that I stood in the office of the prophet, and so when I came, that's what they were expecting. That's the ministry they were expecting. As a matter of fact, I had one of my church members come with me one time. This was in my early days. And so really all she'd pretty much seen of me was me ministering here. And she came out with me to minister, and she was like, well, first of all, she got so under the influence of the Spirit, she was supposed to be there helping me. And I looked over, and she was like passed out on the chair the first night, and I couldn't even get her up to help me. And then like the next morning, she was like laid out on the floor, and I'm like, excuse me. Anyway, but she was like, later she was like, wow. What she saw was the prophet's office in a greater intensity, because that's what they pulled on. That's what they expected when I went. So that was very, the pull of the people, the expectation of the people, it does matter. And so I had gone on this particular trip, and I had gotten there, and praise the Lord, I knew exactly where what the Lord wanted to minister on that night. I felt like I had a good pulse with the Lord of where they were at and something I was going to be able to come and release to help bring them up. And I was sitting there, and we got into praise and worship, and I'm sitting there and knowing, of course, that the spirit of prophecy will be there, that general feeling. And so we're going, and all of a sudden we're in praise and worship kind of begins to get a little long, and then they kind of veer off into what people would call prophetic worship, which is really what? Being led by the Spirit, tapping into the Spirit. I don't really know why that's termed that way, but they begin to flow, and then they begin to say things, and then they begin to look for the song of the Lord. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, okay. And now I recognize by the Spirit of the Lord. So then he stops the music and he begins to prophesy to people. And I recognize by the Spirit of the Lord that he's operating off my anointing, which is not necessarily, I'm not upset. But he was operating because the spirit of prophecy was there, because I was there. Now, it didn't bother me. I didn't get upset. I knew really, honestly, that it was out of order, because you brought the prophet in. And so you don't step into the prophet's anointing and start ministering. I'm there to minister to the people. But I also know, as a minister, I've learned to never let these things bother me. I'm not going to get offended. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to. And so I'm just sitting there also. But then all of a sudden, the Lord got so grieved. I mean, the Spirit of the Lord got grieved, because it just kept going. It kept going. And all of a sudden, just the presence of the Lord completely lifted. No presence of the Lord. God was so grieved that they had stepped out of order. And so then I'm sitting there and I'm realizing, okay, now the presence of the Lord is gone. Now there's no anointing here. Now there's no everything. So, of course, the guy stops and now he wants me to come up. So I'm like, Lord, 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 please forgive them. Please forgive them. Lord, I've forgiven them. Please forgive them. Please, please let me have the presence back. And so I'm instantly working with the Lord to try to get back the place of where, and so God was very gracious to help me. But it grieved the Lord. And so we have to know these things and understand these things and understand the prophet's ministry so that we don't get into bad situations. Let me tell you some false equations or some assumptions about great spiritual gifts. The first one I've already mentioned is that the offices have gifts themselves rather than being the gift. But the second one is that a person who is gifted, who moves in power and in gifts, knows all biblical truth. That's a false assumption. It's a false assumption about a prophet. It's a false assumption about any minister. Here's another one: that character equals or produces the anointing. And so I know people that have operated in great power, operated in great gifts, and able to really edify a crowd for a moment, but it doesn't always mean that their character has been refined or their character has been worked out. And so you have to be careful with these kind of things. Number four would be the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit shows God's approval or means that they are spiritually mature. I think I pointed out, I don't know if it was Sunday or Wednesday, but how in Ephesians chapter 4, when it says that we're all children and that we're all working to grow up into the full stature, that includes ministers. So there are many times ministers, although they might have great gifts and operate in power, it doesn't mean that they're spiritually mature, that everything is done right. Another bad or false assumption is that the anointing equals a divine endorsement of the ministry style or method. I've been in many meetings before where I knew that God would prefer that it not be delivered like that. But still, God is using people. God is dealing with people's faith. So all these kind of things we just have to be aware of. Another false assumption is that prophets know all of our secrets. Sometimes a prophet might read your mail, but if they don't, it doesn't mean they're not a prophet. And that's really not the job of the prophet. If I know something bad about you or something that needs to be fixed about you, chances are I'm not going to say it. Because the purpose of prophecy is what? To edify, to encourage, and to comfort. Got to keep that straight. I'll pray for you. I might give you a swift kick sometime when you walk by, but the gifts or the power are given to promote a person's ministry. That's totally not true. And anybody that's using their stuff to promote, follow me, is very dangerous. Also, that here's a fallacy that great prophetic giftings are people that operate in and maybe the gift of prophecy a lot should naturally flow into teaching or preaching or stand in the office. That's totally not true. Many people will operate in a great capacity of power or things with the Spirit of God, but are not called to fivefold ministry, and that's okay. I want you to be aware some of these days of wrong thinking, wrong concepts, wrong doctrine that's specifically about prophets today. Here's one: or that prophets are more spiritual than other fivefold ministers or at a higher level. Okay, so here's what happens. Because prophets' antennas are usually they're just up a little bit, does not make them more spiritual than any other minister. You sometimes can see that or you can hear that greater than in the other offices, but it's not true that prophets are more spiritual or that prophets are higher, that they're at a higher level. That's totally not true. Here's another thing that is wrong to think about prophets today. The saying that goes like this: God doesn't do anything without first showing or telling the prophets, which comes out of Amos chapter 3, verse 7. And I can say as a prophet, I do run around with a lot of prophets, and I hear this all the time. Every place, well, God's not going to do anything unless he shows the prophets first. That is an Old Testament. When the only people that could know what God was going to do was when God would drop his spirit upon the prophet to tell the people. That's not true today. There are going to be many things that you should know that I will never know. There are going to be many things in churches that a pastor is going to need to know that no other prophet is going to get a word from God and sent to tell him or her. Okay, so that's totally Old Testament theology. And the problem with it is this. Number one is it elevates prophets. God isn't going to do anything unless God tells the prophets. That right there elevated the prophets above everybody, above every believer, and above every office. It's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. Another thing that does is it causes people to lack their own sense of following the Holy Spirit, of trusting the Holy Spirit, of looking to the Holy Spirit. Listen, I want to say it, and probably in might be section 3. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to it Wednesday or not, but I'm going to give you some tips in learning to discern and do a good job at judging prophecy and things like that. But I just want to say this on the upfront. You need to do your best that you can do to discern things from your inner witness, and then you need to feel confident with what you're discerning. And don't let anybody tell you, how dare you not believe the prophets. Don't let anybody tell you that. First of all, just because a prophet said something, I'm just going to get right off into it, aren't I, Lord? I'm just going to get right off into it. Let me get over to this one, and this will help me. Prophets do not today speak or have the authority to speak to the universal church at large. There is no prophet, no matter how mature, no matter how long they've been doing it, no matter how big they're following it, that has the authority from God to speak to the universal church. And this is one of the major setbacks of online viewing and postings and stuff. Because some prophet will stand up and have a word. Let's just assume at this point that it is from God. Okay, let's just assume that it is from God. And they release that. And it was wonderful. I mean, it was by the Spirit of the Lord. Everybody in that place ought to be loving that, believing that, receiving that. If it was of the Spirit of the Lord, take it and run. But now Joe Blow heard it on Facebook. Oh, and he liked that too. That wasn't necessarily spoken to Joe Blow. And Joe Blow can't really take that and run with that if the Spirit of the Lord doesn't really confirm that and cause that to be a living word for him. And this is why we see so much nonsense on Facebook, people passing around stuff all over the place. And it's because they like what they hear, but that doesn't mean anything that it was for you. You're going to have to stop. And then you wonder why it doesn't happen. Or really, you really don't wonder why it doesn't happen, because today it just seems that any prophet can say anything and everybody's just going to believe them. And then when a month goes by and nothing happened, everybody just discards that and waits for the next thing that they're going to say. Do I need to get my pamphlet out? Post prophetic nonsense. Really, I had to go digging for these because I don't do it anymore. I see stuff like that and I instantly turn it off. Unless the Spirit of the Lord says, listen to that. Now listen, I've been in places. One of the most life-changing experiences that I had with the Lord Jesus himself came out of something being done for someone else, some other people being ministered to, and me being in the back of the church, but the Lord connected me with that word. So there are times that someone can get an individual prophecy. There are some times that you can be running across. I mean, the Lord has led me to all kinds of supernatural things before where I've picked something up and I'm like, well, that's a word for the Lord, from the Lord to me right now. That can happen, but it's not just the general assumption. It's not the general assumption. So you can't take these big things that everybody wants to just pass around just because we like them, just because it has hundreds of thousands of views on Facebook, just because you like the results of what it said was going to happen. You can't do that. What you'll find is you'll get confused and you'll get frustrated. Listen, this stuff is messing people up today. There was so much nonsense about November and December and January, and now we're in February and I'm still waiting. That I want to tell you what happened. This grieves me. As a prophet, it grieves me. Because I do understand that there's abuses. I do understand that there's abuses in prophetic or things of the Spirit, particularly prophets. I understand there are abuses. But we can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. We can't. I've been around camps that won't have anything to do with prophets. They're so freaked out about, you know, things that aren't done right that they've just thrown everything out. That's not right either. I saw recently on Facebook, you know, when all the stuff was going around, and then everybody was like, well, you better believe me anyway. It is going to happen. You know, you're not having faith, blah, 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 blah. And I read this, and it just grieved my heart. This girl wrote in, and she wrote, I will never, ever again believe the prophets or prophecy. How that grieves the heart of God. How that grieves the heart of God to think that one of the five gifts that he gave now, she can't receive from, or she can't believe. This stuff will mess people up. We don't want to be messed up. Listen, in the New Testament, we're called to walk in the light. In the New Testament, there is a way to be able to discern the Lord and the things of the Spirit and to keep yourself safe, to keep yourself on the right track. These things are important. In that very same thread, where they, you know, and people writing in, and some people, you know, blasting everything, and some people are blasting everybody that believed, and then some people are blasting everybody that didn't believe. In that very same thread, there was another person that wrote that I'm going to believe the word of the prophets, and I will never not believe. Listen, a prophet can miss it. Prophets are imperfect vessels. That's not an excuse for prophets to not do their best to be accurate and to be spot on and sharp with the Lord, but it's an imperfect vessel. There's all kinds of things that can get mixed up. I'm going to talk about all that later. I'm just trying to tell you that prophets today do not guide the church. They do not lead the church. They do not lead nations. They do not just go on and say, this is the word of the Lord for everybody. It's not like that. That's not how God set it in. God set prophecy and prophets in the office so that we would all be set in and all come and blend together. You know, when I go places to preach, I don't go just anywhere I'm asked. I have to know that the Lord has sent me there. Because if the Lord doesn't send me there, I'm not going to have anything specific for those people. And if I don't have anything as a prophet specific for those people, I don't want to be there. I'm like, who is their prophet? Or who is someone with a prophetic gift that's called to speak into their life? Not every prophet is called to speak into your life. I learned this a long time ago from Brother Hagin, and then I learned it from Terry Mize. They may be a prophet, and I'm not messing with their title of being a prophet. That's between them and the Lord. But it doesn't mean they're the prophet into my life. Doesn't mean that everything that they speak and the things they're doing and how they're ministering is set for me. And listen, because I love you and because I feel a responsibility, you know, then there's that pastor side of me that creeps in and wants to, like, you have to understand that not every minister and certainly not every prophet is called to speak into your life. Too many voices, too many streams, too many things, and you can't get anchored and centered and focused on what God is trying to do with you right now. Do you know how frustrating that is? To be the one that's trying to bring you somewhere, knows God's got some, but then they're off doing this with something. I'm not saying you can't listen to other people, but you do have to understand that God has put a pastor over you, and in this house, he's put a prophet to speak into your life. Another fallacy is that prophets and apostles are the government of the church. That they're the ones set in to govern the church. That's why they think they're at a higher level than like pastors. And, you know, every church needs an apostolic covering. Not true. In a church, the heart of that ministry was birthed through the pastor. The pastor is really the only one that's going to carry the fullness of that ministry. Another fallacy or wrong doctrine or wrong perception today is that prophets guide, leads churches, leads people. Listen, a long time ago when I started recognizing the gift of God in my life and who I was and what God was going to call me to do, I also understood that the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets, and I set some ground rules for myself, really from my spiritual mentor who has gone before me. And I don't do things that are going to direct people's lives. It's dangerous. If I tell you something, even if I know it and it really is God and you're not ready to hear it, and you try to step out and do it because you heard me say it, you're going to have your own faith, in something to be able to walk that out. I don't prophesy marriages, even though I've been in many places where people I know those two were going to get married. I know things. I know that children, I know those things. I don't prophesy them. I don't prophesy people having babies. I don't prophesy people moving. Because I'm not set in to direct your life. I'm not set in to lead your life. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Here's another one, an Old Testament scripture that people say all the time, do the prophets no harm? Like prophets are special? Don't not believe them? That's Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there was nobody but prophets that were ministering from God to the people. Today, God is real serious about any of us doing any believers harm. He doesn't want us harming any believer. I mean, to harm the innocent ones, it should be better that you'd have a millstone and hung around your neck and tossed into the sea. Or they tout in the New Testament, over in Matthew, and it's also Mark, where it says, receive the prophet's reward. And you know, somebody's coming in and they're a prophet and they're like, the prophet's in the house today. Receive the prophet's reward. The reason that was said by Jesus that way is that was at that time, that was the only ministry gift that those people understood. Jesus was still operating under the Old Testament. So when he said prophets, he wasn't talking about just the office of the prophet. He's talking about fivefold ministers. And any time a fivefold minister stands up to preach or to minister, you ought to be pulling on that, wanting to receive something, expecting to get something, get the reward of what they've got for you that day. Not just the prophets. Prophets aren't above all the other four offices. Somehow when the restoration of apostles and prophets started out with prophets, and then about 8 years ago, the whole movement of the apostles came in. Are y'all aware of this? And there started being all the apostles, Reformation, the apostles network, and that's when they started, you know, and I'm not kidding you. Probably 75% of my friends that were prophets are now apostles. I don't know. But when that movement came in, it's just like everything, it's like it just gets magnified out of order. Don't magnify the office of the prophet out of order. Don't like the prophets better than you like the pastors or the teachers.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.